Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Community Spotlight, where from time to time I talk to groups or individuals around the Sonic and Sega community and see their impact and work in the said community. With me tonight is Lewis Clark, otherwise known as Sonic Yoda of Sega-driven fame. How you doing, fella?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Yourself?
Yes, I'm getting on very fine. Thanks a lot for joining me around tonight.
No problem.
Let's get straight into it, and I mean, not a lot of people know. I mean, obviously, you do run Sega-driven pretty much on your own, isn't it?
I had some guest writers, Helen Doherty, Helen Baby, who frequents Sonic Stadium forums quite a lot, and also works for Plus XP now. She used to write some bits and pieces. Rory Black, Rory Jocelyn from, obviously, Sonic and Sonic Showcase Network back when it was running. He used to do some bits and pieces. He actually did quite a lot of the hardware features on the site and, you know, generally was a really big help when we were setting up initially. So that I have had guest writers in the past, but generally nowadays I'm the one doing the news and the reviews and things like that. So, yeah, it's mainly a one-man thing, but I have had some input from other people from time to time.
That's cool, that's cool. How exactly did you coming up with Sega Driven and, you know, what you decided you want to show on it? Because, I mean, you don't go toe-to-toe with some of the bigger sites, and, I mean, that's not really a thing, but you do spotlight a lot like the fan games, which a lot of the other sites don't do as well. So, I mean, how did that all come about, and what direction did you decide to take it in?
Well, I originally used to run a site which was the same name as my username, Sonic Yoda, which was Sonic Exclusive. I did that for about 5 years, I think, and then got a little bit of disenfranchised with Sonic. Wasn't enjoying it as much as I used to. Things like Sonic 06 were coming out, so I was a little bit at a low point there. I wasn't finding the fun in it anymore. And I was already running a sub-site called Mega Driven, which was exclusively Mega Drive stuff or Mega CD and 32X. So it was all like sort of the 16-bit era. And then it seemed to be an amalgamation of the two. So some of the Sonic stuff came over, and I took the existing Mega Driven site and just put a Sega spin on the whole things. And then, you know, now we look at everything. The big inspiration is a website called Sega16.com. I think, yeah, honestly, this is one of the most helpful sites I've ever used. It's just this huge, huge database of reviews for Mega CD games, Mega Drive, 32X games, and loads and loads of exclusive features and interviews and stuff. It's just a really, really good website, and that's kind of the one I look up to. So, yeah, that's kind of the spin I put on the site. And like you say, I don't really go toe-to-toe with the big ones. It's just I've always done it as a hobby. I do it because I like doing it. I've never really kept my eye on the counter too much and seeing who's coming in and what's taking, you know, people's fancy and stuff. I just enjoy it. I wouldn't keep doing it if I didn't. So yeah, that's the plot behind it, really.
Well, yeah, no, that's good to hear. I mean, it's always good to hear where certain websites pick it, because everyone always has a different origin story, don't they? I mean,
how they came into it.
But I mean, it's good. I mean, as we did mention a while ago, you do focus a lot on the fan games, don't you?
Totally. Everybody likes to see what the fan scene's doing, whether it's artwork or music or I'm trying to think what else goes on. Fiction. let's not talk too much about fiction. when I first got the internet, which must have been, I don't know, late 90s, on the old dial-up and all that malarkey, one of the first Sonic websites I found was Sonic Fan Games HQ. And I've literally kept up with it ever since, to be honest with you. I use the forum a lot more now, and generally keep track of what people are doing project-wise and stuff. And it's still a very active community. I mean, I think Retro is probably more of an active community, but they do lots of way more custom work and build things from scratch. Whereas Sonic Fans Games HQ, they developed a specific engine which they use across most of their fan games called Sonic Worlds. So they generally churn out a lot more projects and demos and things, and it's just interesting. And I really like some of the stuff is brilliant, and there doesn't seem to be a big, you know, there doesn't seem to be as many people plugging it anymore. I mean, TSS, they do bits and pieces round about Sage time, but generally throughout the year they don't really focus on it too much, which was, well, I decided, well, there's some great bits and pieces going on outside of Sage as well, so I decided, why don't we do some features there, especially when demos and things come out, just so that people can get their hands on stuff and have a little look. Obviously, the big thing with fan games, people seem to think that nobody finishes them, and that's another thing I wanted to focus on as well, because a lot of fan games do get finished, and there are some amazing bits and pieces. I mean, I've shown you Eggman Hates Furries. That's one of the funniest things I've seen, and just a really, really good game. What's it? Sonic Before the Sequel came out recently. That was a really, really good one. Over at Retro, a guy called Hez, I think his name is, he released a game called Sonic the Hedgehog Classic, which is also a really, really good game. And it has a nice widescreen window as well, so you can see things coming up a lot, like, in sooner in advance. It's just a really good some bits and pieces. So, yeah, no, it's a community I've always loved and been a part of, and just wanted to feature a little bit more and make sure they get the recognition they deserve, because they do some great stuff.
No, that's cool. I mean, have you had a particular fan game finished or not that is really good that you... It's one of those ones that you'd always go back to?
Oh, well, it's dating a bit now, but it got finished well over, you know, 5 years ago now. Must be even older, actually. So a game called Sonic Time Attacks, which is developed by a guy called Jamie Bailey. That was, like, at the time, when that got finished, it was just, like, the coolest thing. Because all the artwork's custom. There's hardly... If he's used, like, existing sprites, he's really gone to town with the graphics, and, like, the colouring is brilliant, and, like, uses all these gradient effects and just makes it look really unique and nice. And there was all these little spot effects which he used to love, where, like, you hit the bandits and they blow up, like, the eyes fly towards the screen and things. And it was just, it's a cool, cool little game. And the grinding felt so good as well. Like, honestly, grinding in a fan game has always been a bit... Whatever, what's the point? Just let me go around loops and things. But no, this one got it down so well, honestly. It's only Time Attacks. I'll keep coming back to it. I mean, like I say, it's a little bit clunky now, but it's a full game, and it's really worth checking out. And it's a good bit of my fan games history as well. So
that's always good. That's a nice little plug for anyone that's listened to this down the line, and they can go get it themselves and have a look. I mean, let's shift the focus back to you a little bit, because, I mean, you've mentioned about, you know, the history of your website and obviously a lot of the Mega Drive stuff. And I know personally that you're a massively big retro fan. I mean, I've personally seen your collection the other week, and it is amazing. But, I mean, you really do like your classic consoles, don't you, your retro Sega stuff?
Oh, it's just what I've grown up with and what I'm used to. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still like new games and whatnot, and there's still plenty of new games that I really like as well, but my focus has always been what I grew up with, and I generally just... I don't know, maybe I have a more of an understanding of it, because new games I'm just terrible at. I'm useless. I play everything I use. But, like, older retro stuff, like, even... I show it to friends and they have a little muck around and they have a really hard time with it. But I don't know whether it's just the understanding or whether there's generally, like, yeah, two different ways of playing old and new. I don't know. But, like, I love retro. There's some great bits and pieces. Just a really unique time to be, like, playing games as well, because there was never sort of, like, this horrible plague of, like, first-person shooters, and, like, there was always lots and lots of different things going on all the time. So, I mean, you've seen my retro game collection. There's honestly, the variety of games that you can play
definitely.
Is just phenomenal, and that's what I used to love about it, and still do, because there's some great things that I'm still picking up nowadays. Like, recently I got some of the Spider-Man games on Mega Drive, and, like, for instance, The Amazing Spider-Man is such a great little game with the taking pictures mechanic, and the exploration is really, really cool. I can't express how much retro games just mean to me. It's so much fun. It was a time where, like, people were experimenting and doing weird things and coming up with strange concepts and crazy art. It's just wicked fun. I love it.
definitely. I mean, when it comes back down to the games of past, the retro games, I mean, we all know that the music sounds a lot better because they had to try a lot harder with the chips with the chiptune set they had. I mean, obviously that's not so much a thing these days with the bigger budgets and that, but do you reckon they also tried harder with like creating each of the levels and such as well due to limited hardware?
Honestly, even today, like, limitations really, really help video games in my eyes. Like, because it really pushes people to do a lot more with what they're given. Like, a great example is the Wii. I mean, I still absolutely, hands down, I think it's probably the best console this generation, because some of the things people have managed to get out of it are just really, really involved and different and clever, you know? I mean, I keep talking about it a lot. The Silent Hill game on Wii, there's so many little gimmicks and clever little bits and pieces that they use that are just so unique and that you can only do with that console. And it's so worth playing because there's nothing else like it. And it's the same with the Mega Drive. I mean, obviously, I think most people know that the SNES has more power, but a lot of the games feel quite safe. It's like, let's just do a 2D platformer action game, because there's lots of that. There's lots of Metroids and Castlevanias, which have a very similar sort of action style. Whereas Mega Drive is like, okay, well, how do we do something different? I mean, they a lot of Mega Drive games take an existing concept and muck around with it. I mean, the obvious example is Sonic. You know, that's just Mario, but with more speed and lots of momentum-based weirdness, and it's just, it mucks around with the platforming formulae and does something different with it. I mean, back with Mario, you get hit 2 times and you die, and then you lose a life and then you have to start all over again. Sonic, you can have one ring and you can go through the entire game. It's not an issue. So there's lots of, you know, it's things like that. There's little tweaks and bits and pieces that they do because they're limited with their hardware that just seem to make more unique games.
Do you have any particular favourite genre of game?
This time last week, I would have probably said, you know, racers, maybe. But at the moment, I'm really, really into my platformers, I've got to say. Like, we're going to be doing a feature on Sega Driven soon, which I'm not going to reveal too much of, but I hadn't realised how many great platformers there are that aren't Sonic. there's so many good ones. Earthworm Jim, Castle of Illusion, Mickey Mania, what's it? I've got a soft spot for Tailspin, I've got to say. It's a bit naff, but it's a good game. I'm trying to think. There are quite a lot. El Viento, I really like. That's a cracking one. Oh, Spider-Man, obviously.
Yeah,
Ristar, yeah, God. I suppose, could you Comic Zone, maybe? More of a
no,
brawler.
It's more of a brawler, but it's got that platforming element to it, hasn't
yeah,
it?
So. But no, oh, mate, there's... And again, like, the range of... Even though I've listed a lot of platformers, like, what's going on in each of those games is so different. I mean, Comic Zone has the whole panel mechanic and lots of bits going on. Like, there's the gameplay is different in each panel, whereas, like, there's an overarching brawling element to the whole thing. And then Ristar's got the stretchy arms and the spinning and flying off in different directions and just... Oh, God. Mega Drive is so good!
Going back to the feature bit, obviously what's happened recently is obviously you've started doing your roundtable reviews. Now, I mean, at time of this interview, there's been two. You've had that's your correct, yes. Racing one.
Yep.
And there was the RPG one, wasn't there?
That's the one. Yep, that's correct.
Yep. I mean, obviously there'll probably be more to come as it goes along. I mean, have you felt these have been come across recently? Because it's a big step with drawing everybody into the community.
I mean, we've got a nice little fan base going on now, a nice little collection of friends that I can call to for things like this. And it just seemed nice to be able to do something original, and because most of my original content comes from reviews, so it was nice to do something feature based that was a little bit, you know, a little bit different to what we usually do, and get more people involved. It's just nice to have to collate lots of opinions and generally just look at things a little bit differently and see it through different people's eyes. I've had a lot of fun collating that feature and seeing what everybody's written and It's a really good feature. I think it comes across that people are enjoying writing about their, you know, their chosen game, and that it's that there's a bit of a laugh to be had with that feature. And no, there's some really good content in there as well. Some of the pieces are actually fantastic. Like, they could be pieces on their own. I mean, like, they're full features, a lot of the stuff, and it's you know, condensed into this one massive feature.
Yeah.
But it's been one of the cool little projects that the site's got going now, and I'm really looking forward to continue it, because it's just nice to have an outlet where everybody can put in their, you know, two cents and have a bit of fun with it. So yeah, no, I've been enjoying that a lot.
Definitely, because it's, I mean, in my mind, it's always good to have something that brings the community together. I mean, in any way, I mean, TSS has their music albums, and obviously the fan games bring a lot of onboard community together. And it's nice to see something different that's not the music or the game based. I mean,
no, totally. I mean, the feature is not completely original. Lots of websites have roundtable features as well. Well, Sega's theme for one, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Rex did something similar at some point. I might be wrong on that one, but never mind.
Oh, no. They did recently do a roundtable review on Generations, because it was...
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Right, yeah, no. I wasn't going mental there. That's fine. It's just... There's lots and lots of people in the community, and they've all got good writing skills and opinions that they want to express. So it was just another outlet for people to, you know, put in their two cents on something that they enjoy. And it's nice. The theme is, you know, it's just, I really enjoy seeing, you know, what people, I'm having a real hard time producing words here, I've got to say. It's a great feature, you should check it out.
Definitely.
There you go.
I mean, as we said, there's been the one on Racer where I'm going to have to, Shane Gavi of Radio Sega fame here, where he clearly does not know Racers exist, even though he owns a radio show.
So if you put on the spot, you can never, like, as I just proved when I was trying to think of platformers just now, when you put on the spot, you have a brain fart, and all of a sudden you just can't think of anything. But we jogged his memory, and he came up with Manx TT, and he did a good little feature on it, actually.
Yeah, no, it was really, really good. Same with a lot of the RPG ones as well. I mean...
Oh, no, I really enjoyed the last one. We got some nice variety going, and no, there was some great, great pieces on that one.
Definitely. I'm really looking forward to see what comes up in the future.
Next one should be good luck.
Reviews. Moving on to Summer of Sonic. I mean, it's like the worst kept secret that you are Sonic. I mean,
yeah,
it's like the worst kept secret ever. But for those that know, I mean, it is one of those jobs. I mean, do you want to explain it to people? I mean, how it is to you? I mean, it's best coming across from you instead of someone that just views you anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. At Summer of Sonic, Sega's official Sonic walks around the venue and he gets photos with people and everything. I'm the guy that gets in that suit. It's a really hot and uncomfortable and just nasty job, but I absolutely love it. It's like one of the coolest things you can do, because who doesn't want to get their picture with Sonic? So, you know, and it's... I think it's great that they let me do it, because there's a fan in the suit, so there's that element, like, you know, I want it to be great for everybody else, so I want to play the part and make it fun and give, you know, and welcome in for people that actually want to maybe a little bit shy of getting their photos and stuff, and just, no, it's a great little job. I really enjoy doing it. Like I say, it is a little bit uncomfortable, but that's just one small thing against, you know, a really, really good, enjoyable time in the suit, and it's just a really good laugh. And yeah, I think it's something special as well that there's a fan in the suit as well. So yeah, it's one of you guys that's also doing that job. So yeah, no, I think that's something quite special about that.
That's good. What are your thoughts of Summer of Sonic as a whole? I mean, I've never really, I've I mean, in the past with the community spotlight, I mean, when it's been the more text-based thing, it's been about how people have been there. I mean, it's never really been an audio question in the last couple of shows that I've done it with. But, I mean, what are your thoughts on the fact that it is a community-driven event that's grown to such a scale? I mean, what are your thoughts along those sort of lines?
Oh, I mean, it wouldn't have got to the scale if it hadn't got that community element to it. It would feel very sort of... processed and sort of, you know, higher manager level sort of Sega-y event, sort of very carefully planned, and not that it isn't, but it would lose that sort of friendliness and community atmosphere that you get, and it's one of the things I absolutely love about it. There's absolutely nothing like it. It's always a great day. There's never any hostility. Everybody's enjoying each other's company. People make new friends that they speak to for years and years and years. And, like, I mean, me and you is a good example of that. So, you know, it's just, it is a great, great event. I'm really glad it exists and still exists. And I actually cannot wait for the next one because it's always, always good fun. And, regardless of the heat, it's totally worth going for and experiencing, and generally feeling a nice, friendly vibe that everybody seems to emanate that on that day. It's just, no, it's a really good fun, and you get to be fanboys and and have a little bit of a gush moment over, you know, what your favorite game is, or, you know, who's the celeb on stage. Oh, well, let's ask him a question. It's just, no, it's great. You get you decrease in age by a good 10 years and have, you know, your inner child comes up and has a bit of a laugh. So yeah, no, it's a great day. I really, really enjoy Summer of Sonic, and I'm glad it exists, and I hope it continues to, especially with the community driven aspect of it, because that's what really puts it apart from other expos and things like that.
Yeah,
which feel very
managerial,
strict, and managed, you know, in a very strict way.
Definitely. I mean, SOS has always been a really good thing. I mean, I obviously missed OA. I was gonna go, but I forgot about it. But I mean, my first one was 09, and I met my first couple of people that I met outside the door were True Smiles and Forever Sonic, who were on the Radio Sega 1 a couple of weeks back, so they're really good friends of mine. And as you said, you make friends for years and years. I mean, back in 09, we're looking 3 years later already, and
it's such a thing.
You make, if you go out just that little bit, I mean, just the fact that everybody's just, the one thing they've all got in common is just one spiny blue hedgehog and his friends, and...
Yeah, no. Oh, totally.
Just opening up. It's so amazing sometimes. I do completely agree. It's just one of those things that just... It changes your life. It really does.
I'm glad we have an outlet like that, because, you know, otherwise it's literally forums and not actually getting to really know someone. And, well, you know, it's a completely different kettle of fish when you meet someone in the real world and actually converse and, you know, discover what each other are like. And it's just that, honestly, I've made some absolutely great, like, really long-lasting friendships out of going to Summer of Sonic and knowing this, and through the Sonic community in general. So that aspect of the Sonic, you know, arc is one of the best. Maybe the games aren't brilliant all the time, but goddamn, the community is so damn good.
No, that's really kosher.
Cool.
No, that's cool. Is there anything you want to talk about? I mean, generally, I mean, we've gone over fan games, we've gone over your site, we've done Summer of Sonic itself as well. One of the other things you do, I mean, I must say, is, I mean, you do have a band that you are part of. I know it's not Sonic or Sega, but you, I mean, you're part of a band called Pigeons of Death, which is...
That is correct, yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, you can do. I'll try and keep it, you know, safe for your audience. I sing in a band called Pigeons of Death. We're in a sort of acoustic comedy band type dealy. So I think Tenacious D, Beans and Toast is another similar artist to us. So we just have a muck around, and we've got silly, funny songs, and it's just really good fun, and I wouldn't be able to do it if it wasn't fun at the end of the day, because it's just, it's me and two of my best mates, so, and that's just what we're like, so it's pretty honest music, let's put it that way.
That's right.
So yeah, no, we've done that. There has been a bit of a crossover in the past. We did an entry for the Rex Factor at Sonic Rex. We covered Robotnik's Tea Party and our spin on that. So, you know, we're not shy of the Sonic community, but we're just trying to establish ourselves outside of that sort of thing. So, we've been doing that for a good 3 years or so now. So, we're coming up to 3 years, I think. And, you know, we played almost 20 gigs and we've got a couple of EPs out. So, it's been good fun. And that's what music should be.
Oh, definitely. It's about having fun and such. I mean, some of it is video game related, isn't it? I mean, if I remember rightly.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, the big game song is 20 Frags to Win, which is how... Basically, when I was in secondary school, we always used to just sort of bunk off IT and play Unreal Tournament on the PCs and LAN matches. So that's kind of what that's about. And it's also how I absolutely despise PE and would not do I would refuse to do cross-country runs and things like that when I'd rather be playing Unreal Tournament. So.
I imagine PE would probably be a bit better if you had a grenade to throw, I imagine.
At the PE teachers, yes.
Yeah. I mean, staying on Pigeons of Death, I mean, how does inspiration for your for material come about for you guys? I mean, it's obviously not just you. I mean, there is your two guys as well. So
yeah, no, totally. I mean, Andrew, the guitarist, is like our main songwriter music-wise. So his inspirations are, you know, Fight Star is one of his big ones. Damien Rice, Tuka Lance. So yeah, I mean, it's the rocky element doesn't come through as much as it could because we're obviously acoustic, but so Tuka Lance and Damien Rice are very, they're sort of, you know, sort of stripped down bluesy and acoustic stuff. But as for me, like, inspirations lyric wise, there's a band called Sludge Feast who are absolutely like obsessed with video games, and you should probably check them out. They swear a lot, but they've got an album called Virtual Rock, which is like loads of Sega inspired songs. Like there's an Outrun song, there's a Thunder Force song. Just his mentality and just his, you know, middle finger up attitude is, I absolutely love the way he does his thing. And there's another band with a very similar name called Hospital of Death, which also I take a lot of influence for, because they've got lots of silly songs about getting drunk and well, getting drunk mainly is their thing. So yeah. But they've done a cover of Lion's Transformers theme.
Oh, really?
Which is just fantastic. I'll send that your way if you haven't heard it.
As long as it's better than the Black Lab one, I must say.
Oh, trust me, it's good, man. You'll like it. But yeah, so they're another sort of silly band that I take inspiration for lyrically and stuff. But yeah, so that's kind of the thing.
That's cool. Is there anything else that you actually want to bring up? Because I think I've gone over pretty much everything that I have. I mean,
we fired through this.
It's not so much that. It's a solo one-to-one interview doesn't have as much as a group interview. Because obviously,
yeah, no, that's true.
But I mean, is there anything you want to talk about in particular? I mean,
well, I wouldn't mind giving some shout-outs to the Sonic Stadium and Emerald Coast, because, like, I'm glad. Like, if we're going to talk about Sonic, then I need, like, those are two of my absolute favourite sites, and I think they're really flying the flag for the Sonic community at the moment. I mean, when I was running Sonic Yoda, the Sonic Stadium and another website called Sonic HQ were always, like, the big sites that I looked up to and wanted to, you know, I wanted to have that much info and data on the games and stuff and all the cheat codes and everything, and I just, like, you know, they were... That, you know, they were the real established sites, and it was, if you could be as, if you had as much stuff as them, that was always like the goal. So like, yeah, no, I'm glad they still exist and they're still like flying the flag for the Sonic community, because we need websites like that, regardless of what. There seems to be a lot of flack towards their forums sometimes, and it's completely unnecessary at the end of the day. Your forum is only as good as your users, so that can never be put the blame on the Sonic Stadium. So
true. I mean, I think this is something that come up in a different particular line, is that every little corner of the internet has their own community side, and I mean, same as it's with the Sonic sites as well. They've all got their own little community, and you know, even though everyone jibes at each other, it all comes together, and it's amazing at the end of the day. That's what matters.
No, I mean, there needs to be less hostility, I think, towards rival websites, because if you didn't have them, you wouldn't want to do what you're doing, and you should really embrace each other's work. You know, there's a lot. There's always collaborations and things that are available to you. I mean, like through things like we're doing with the roundtable, it's great to have input from other people and generally, you know, form friendships and things through that sort of thing. So don't hate, appreciate.
Wise words, if ever I heard them, I must say.
That's generally. I just wanted to put my two cents that way. So.
No, that's definitely cool. I do think we are about done. I mean, it is one compared to the rest of it, but I mean to say it's still been a good one. Short webinar, it's still a different side of the other guys that we've seen.
Thanks for having me and having a chat.
No worries.
Always fun.
Before we go, do you just want to do a quick shout out of links that people can get in touch with you and see and blah blah blah?
Yeah, certainly. So obviously the main website I run is Sega Driven, and you can visit that at www.segadriven.com. If you want to follow us on Twitter, we're also at Sega Driven. We're also on Facebook, which I think it's just facebook.com/SegaDriven. I could be wrong, but I'm sure you can search for us and find that quite easily enough. Give us messages, give us feedback. It's always nice to hear from people who are visiting the site and things like that. There's not an awful lot that happens on my comment sections and things, so it's nice to see that people are visiting, and if they've got ideas and things they'd like to see, then I'd really like to hear it. I want to get some community going, and you know, it's nice to hear from people and get some feedback. So definitely check us out. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, then there's at Sonic Yoda, but be prepared for bad language and me talking about hard rock and heavy metal quite a lot. So yeah, there is that. We spoke about a band as well, so you probably should go to pigeonsofdeath.wordpress.com. That's our main website, and you can keep on top of everything there. We've got some free MP3s and bits and pieces, and there's all details about our other music and gigs and so forth.
Have they got a Twitter link as well for them?
Yes, at Pigeons of Death, so yeah, that's an easy.
No, that's cool. So, that's cool, that's everything. Another shout out just to Lewis for joining me tonight. It's been fabulous having him on. It's been something I've been meaning to get done for a while, and it's always
thanks
good to
for
hear
having
from
us,
him.
Man.
No problem, mate, anytime. All the links that you've just heard will be in the drop down box below. Do go check it out. Sega Driven is amazing. There's a lot from it in the past, there's a lot coming up as well. If you do have a comment at all about the show itself, or if you want to leave a comment for Sega Driven, feel free to do it in the comment section below. They do get read, and if you've got anything for Lewis, they will get passed on as well. We do chat quite a bit, so I'm quite sure he'll keep an eye on it as well himself for this one. But yeah, it's been great having you here, Lewis.
Yeah, and thank you very much for having me.
No worries. And that's good night from me, and good night from Lewis.
Good night.
Good night, and I'll catch you next time all on the Community Spotlight. Farewell, guys.
Bye.